Evening. Let's all stand together and sing hymn number 263. 263. Hymn number 49.
Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Read the first 6 verses, and hopefully by God's grace have some things to say about it. Romans 7. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So that if, while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions, the passions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Our blessed God and our Father, and our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And oh, what a Savior He is. What a Redeemer. What a Mediator. What a Surety. What a Righteousness. Lord, we really indeed find in You all that we need for time and eternity in this world. We find You to be everything we need. God made You to be unto us everything that our heart and soul could possibly need to be accepted of God Almighty. To be made righteous, to be made holy, to be sanctified, to be alive unto God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we've gathered here tonight to look into Your Word, to study it, and we ask for Your blessed presence. We ask for Your help. Lord, this, who is sufficient for these things? Who is sufficient? So, Lord, I'm not sufficient, but Lord, You are. So, by the Holy Spirit of God, please enable me to speak tonight, enable the hearers to hear. Save You people in this place. Continue to meet the hearts, the soul, the needs of the heart, and the needs of the body. We ask these things in our Savior's name. Amen.
In our chorus books, we'll sing number 23. We'll just sing the first and the third. One of these days, we'll get around to going over, putting an insert in on the second verse. We've got it rewritten here, but we'll just do the first and the third. Number 23 in the chorus book.
In Him I am happy.
First time I heard that song was up in Indiana. Need to get the girls to sing it sometime. All right, I'm going to deal with these first six verses if God will help me. And our motive for obedience, what is it, law or love? And that's the thing. In the preceding chapter, you know, we went through that last Wednesday night. And we started out in verse 14 where it says, sin shall not have dominion over you because you're not under law but under grace. And I tell you, believers are not under law. And he knew this would be an offense to the believing Jews. They still held a high opinion of the law. And there's a lot of people have a high opinion of the law. I've met several of them in my lifetime. And therefore, at the beginning of chapter 7, he explains his meaning of what it means to be not under law but under grace. And I tell you, and the law which he's referring to here is not the ceremonial law, not the tithing and all that, and not the holy days and feast days and that kind of thing. No, he's talking about the moral law of God, the Ten Commandments. That's what he's talking about. And that's the whole will of God manifested to man. You know, God gave the law as a universal rule of obedience. And he bound everyone from Adam to obedience to that law. And if you don't be obedient to that law, death is the result of disobedience. And all men were placed under that covenant. We saw that earlier. You know, it says that in Galatians 3:10 said, if that cursed is everyone that continueth in all things not written in the book of the law. And here's another thing that, remember, in Romans 2, it says that the Gentiles, which did not have the law, they did not have the Ten Commandments, they didn't have not what God gave to Israel on the mountain of Sinai. But God said He wrote it on our hearts. He wrote it on our hearts. And that's why Gentiles who did not have the law done the things contained in the law. And either when something come to them, it either condemned them and tell them that they were guilty, or it would excuse them and tell them they were not guilty. But God wrote it on the heart. And I'll never forget a fellow called me, and I may have told you this before, called me on a Saturday night and said, oh, I'm planning on being with y'all in service in the morning. I said, good, good. He was from a Reformed Baptist church, and I said, good. Then he asked me, How do you discipline your church? I said, I don't. I said, you know, I don't. He said, well, what do you do about people who commit adultery and lying and steal and all this? I said, well, listen. I said, I knew all that was wrong before God ever saved me. I didn't need a law to tell me that those things were wrong. I rebelled against them. I resisted them. And I broke them. But I didn't need a law to tell me how bad things was. And after 40-something years, 46 years in March, nobody, I've never, ever had to put anybody out of a service. Never, ever had to bring charges against anybody. If the gospel won't keep them, then they won't stay. What? Why would you want to run somebody off that's a sinner? Why would you want to run somebody off and bring charges against somebody that's a sinner? That's what this place is for sinners. Could you imagine, boy, getting up here and start going to, well, let's confess our sins. Let's confess to one another. Well, we come to Scott one time and said, I believe we ought to confess our sins to one another. That's what John said. Scott said, let's start with you. Let's start with you. but that's what I'm talking about. He's got it on our hearts. And every one of you know that before God ever saved you. You know, and this law that's written on the heart continues to be the rule, the perfect rule of righteousness, and pronounces a curse on all who fail in the smallest measure. James said it like this. He said, if you offend in one point of the law, you're guilty of all. If you break the law in one spot, in one commandment, then you broke them all. God said you're guilty of all of them. That's all it takes is just breaking it once. Breaking it once. And then you're guilty of the whole thing. And I tell you, it's only when the believer is united to the Lord Jesus Christ, which I've tried to preach on the last couple of weeks, and that He is only when we're united to Christ are we freed from this covenant of law. And oh, the language of the law is do, 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 and you'll live. And if you don't, it's like that young ruler that come to the Lord Jesus and says, Master, what good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? He said, well, you know the commandments, and Christ went over the commandments. He said, all these I've kept from my youth up. And our Lord said, I tell you what you need to do, since you've kept them, and you love your neighbors yourself, and you love God with all your heart, sell everything you got and go distribute it to the poor. I don't know if I love God that much. I don't know if I love my neighbor that much. And he went away sorrowful. And oh my, the language of the law is do and live. And if you would enter into life, keep the commandments. But remember, the law not only reaches the acts, the things that a man does, but his attitude, his manner, and his motive. Let me show you that in Matthew chapter 5. I want you to see this in Matthew chapter 5. The law goes such much more than what we do. It deals with our attitude. It deals with our motives. It deals with our manners. Look in Romans 5:21. This is what I'm saying. And look what he said here. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time. That's the law. Thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But now he goes on and carries it to something else. But if whosoever is angry with his brother, and here's the thing, without a cause, that goes to your motive. That not only goes to what you're doing, that goes to why you're going to do what you're doing. You know, anger without a cause, he's in danger of judgment. Whosoever saith to his brother, Raca, that is a vain foolish man, he's in danger of the council. You call him a fool, you're in danger of hellfire. So you see, it deals with the inward man. It deals with the heart. It deals with motives. And look down here in verse 27. This is what I'm talking about. It goes to the secrets of men's hearts. It goes to the motives and the manner of a man. And he said, you have heard it said by them of old time, thou shalt commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looks on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery already. Where at? In his heart. In his heart. Now that gets right down to where the rubber hits the road. And that's what we're talking about. That's what this law does something besides just deal with outward act. Look down verse 38. You have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That's absolute justice. But I say unto you that when you do this, you're not resisting evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the left also. You know, if somebody smites you, just give them the other cheek. Don't go back for an eye for an eye. Don't go for an eye for an eye. If somebody hurts you in any way, you just give them the other cheek. So you see, it goes, and we're bound to this law. We're married to it, and it's a covenant we're under until Christ frees us from this law. Now let's start here in verse 1. And how many times has he said, you know, he said this twice in Romans 6. Know you not. Know you not, brethren. You know this, brethren. For I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he lives. Now, as long as a man's living, that law has dominion over him. That law has power over him. And as long as he lives, the only thing that will free him from that law, free him from the dominion of it, and have power over man as long as he lives, is to be dead. Death frees a person from the obligation of any law to which he's rightfully subject. Nothing else can. And when you look at the law as a principle of justification and sanctification, it has dominion over a man until he's united to Christ in the death and burial and resurrection of our Savior. That's when he becomes dead in reference to the law. And look back over here in Romans 6:6. This is what I'm saying. You know, when a man is joined to Christ, death is the only thing that can free us. It has dominion over us until death sets us free. And our union with Christ in His death and His burial and resurrection, we become as dead men. Knowing what He said here in verse 6 of Romans 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin, remember that's a massive sin. It says the same thing in Colossians 1:22, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve free sin. Now watch this. For he that is dead, he's free from sin. Is death going to come and ask you for anything? When if you're dead and you die, what do you owe? What's going to come after you? Everything that you had against you died with you. And look what I said. If he that's dead, now listen to this. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe we shall also live with Him. How do we live with Him? We're joined to Him. We're united to Him. And that's the only way that we become dead to the law and free from the law is through our death with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then when we are united to Christ, not under law but under grace, you know, then a man when he's dead and he dies with Christ, this union with Christ, we're free from the guilt. We're free from the guilt. Like I told them here that a couple of weeks ago, maybe last week even, I don't feel any guilt. What have I got to be guilty for? You know, that's why Paul said, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who is it? Who's going to lay anything to the charge of God's elect? What? Because Christ died. And Christ is risen again and sits at God's right hand. So who's going to let... Christ died to put away our sin. Christ died to set us free. Christ died to bring us out from under the curse. And I tell you, we're free from the guilt and we're free from the curse. And the law has no dominion over us whatsoever. None. None. Oh my. You know, when I first went to Indiana, everybody up there was under the law, wasn't they, Stevie? I preached to folks who was under the law, and they had dress codes. They had these dress codes up there, just about almost as Amish and Mennonites. But I mean, they had to, you know, you had to dress a certain way, you had to wear your hair a certain way, and oh my goodness, all that rigmarole. And they really, really was high on the law. And you know, you talk to them and they would say, that's just too good to be true. I can't stand the freedom. I've got to do something. Got to have something to do. I can't stand the freedom. I've got to be able to feel good about what I'm doing. Oh, and when Joe Turrell went to Iowa, they had the Netherlands Reformed up there. There's not a stricter bunch of people on the face of the earth than the Netherlands Reformed. You know, them folks they'd have a 300-member church, and only about five or six of them was fit to take the Lord's table. The rest of them wasn't fit. They'd come into your home. They'd come into your house and go through your house to make sure, to try to surprise you, see if you're dressed right, see if you've not got a television, see that you've got a Bible where it's supposed to be, and you're praying like you're supposed to be. I know a couple that they was so dealing with them, in this church, and now this man, of course, he believes the grace of God, saved by the grace, and preaches grace now. But he said they put us in a place and shunned us and wouldn't have nothing to do with us and wouldn't let us have nothing to do in the church because of the elders found something wrong with them. Wouldn't I be a sight? Knock on your door. Oh, it's the preacher. It's the preacher. Hurry up, hurry up. Hide that TV. Put it in the closet. That's how stupid people are. They really are. And another dear man that I know him, and he was a song leader in a grace church, and he decided to quit because he come to the conclusion that the Ten Commandments is the believer's rule of life. Now, how would you like it to be your rule of life? The first, you take the Ten Commandments. How would you like them to be your rule of life? That's the rule we got to go by. Oh, no, I don't want that, do you? Oh, my. But I'll tell you, look what he goes on to say here now in verse. He gives us an illustration of marriage to show us how that death sets us free. For the woman which hath an husband, he gives this illustration here. This is an illustration that he used. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. As he lives. But if the husband be dead, not the wife, but the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law, the principle of law, to her husband. So then, if while her husband is alive, and she be married to him, you are come dead to the law. How? By the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? That we should be married to another. Who we're married to? To Christ. Even to Him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. You see, our freedom from the law as a covenant of life and death, or even as a principle of justification and condemnation, it is as complete as a dead man is free from the laws of the state, or a woman is free from the law of a dead husband. And this freedom from the law is not by our death, but by Christ's death. Oh, however, we are considered to be in Christ and Christ in us and our death. And I want you to keep Romans 7. Go to Galatians chapter 2. Go to Galatians chapter 2. I quote this all the time, but I want you to look at it this time. Galatians chapter 2. And this is exactly what they're talking about. Galatians chapter 2. Look what he says here in verse 20. This is exactly what we're talking about here. We're dead with Christ, and Christ is in us, and Christ, we're in Christ, and it was the death of Christ that set us free. I am crucified with Christ. I died when Christ died. Nevertheless, I'm alive. I live. Yet it's not I. Who is it then? Christ living in me. And the life I now live in this old flesh, in this old body here, I live by the faith. Not my faith, but by the faith of faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Huh? That's exactly what he's talking about. When Christ died, he died unto sin once. When we died in Christ, we died unto sin once. When Christ was raised, we was raised up with Him. Everything that Christ did, we identified with Him. And I'll tell you, the death of Christ, it answered all the law's demands. There's only one man ever on this earth that kept the law of God perfectly. It demanded, and not only did he do it with the moral law, but he done it with the ceremonial law. He done all of it. And our Lord Jesus Christ, when the law made demands, Christ met all them demands. So if he met them, when they come to demand something from me, only thing I can do is point to him. Point to him. Oh my. And and the law has no further demands on him, and it can have none on us. Look what it says in Romans 8:1. Oh my, look what it says, Romans 8:1. This is what we're talking about. There is thou now no condemnation. To who? To them which are in Christ Jesus. There's no judgment, no condemnation for the believer. No. You see, we're no longer married to the law, but married to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who we're married to. Our dependence is upon Him. Our happiness is upon Him by wearing His name. Oh, to wear the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our joy is in His love and fellowship. And to believers, this is so comforting. We are so completely and blamelessly free from the covenant of the law as if we had never, ever been under it. Martin Luther, if you ain't got his thing on Galatians, you need to get it. I mean, you know, it's, of course, I don't know if you should or not. But anyway, when Martin Luther discovered this, it gave such a relief to him that he thought himself that he was at the gates of paradise when he found out. Because this man was crawling on his knees up the Spanish steps when God came to him and made Romans 3:24 real to him. Being justified freely by the grace that's in Christ Jesus. That verse came to him and it realized, what am I doing on my knees? He would beat himself on the back till blood come out. Trying to make himself live a holy life. And then he's on his knees and that verse scripture come to his mind. He got up. And he wrote down 95 things. And put it on the door of Wittenberg Church in Wittenberg, Germany, called a Wittenberg, and nailed it up there. And from then on, that started the Reformation. Him and Calvin, they started preaching justification. How? By faith. In who? In Jesus Christ. And that's what we're talking about. I tell you what. He said, our sins are ours no more, but Christ's. For God laid on Him all of them. And on the other hand, Christ's righteousness is ours. It's ours. And oh, look what he goes on to say now. There in verse 4 again, back over in Romans 7:4. Oh, we are married to Him, to another, even to Him who is raised from the dead. Who is that is raised from the dead? The Lord Jesus. And listen to this, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. You can't bring forth fruit till you're alive. You can't. You ain't got no fruit. But oh my. And I tell you what, everything that's done as a result of our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ is done in faith. And you know, faith works by love. You know, that's how faith works. Faith works. It comes out of love. And oh, and I tell you, the only fruits of righteousness that are true is those that's done from a heart of love, from a heart that has faith in it, from a heart that needs Christ, from a heart that wants Christ. Oh my. Oh, you know, that's the only fruits of righteousness they are. There's not a work that you and I can do that'll bring forth any fruit to righteousness. Christ brings it forth. And I tell you what, the fruits of righteousness it comes out of love. It comes out of love. And that's what that, you know, they come to some folks and our Lord Jesus in Matthew 25. He said, you know, he talked about people doing things. And there was a group, you know, that he said, He told his disciples, he said, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was in prison, you visited me. And all the believers said, Lord, when did we do these things? When did we do these things? There's not a soul in this building that would stand up and say, I've done good works for Jesus. I've done good works for Christ. Not one will do it. But then this other group over here, they said, oh, Lord, we've done all these things. They talked about all the wonderful things they've done. The only people that done anything that Christ would commend is the people said, Lord, what have we ever done? What have we ever done? But the folks that talk about doing, they're the ones that ain't done nothing. And that's the ones that Christ don't say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. And I tell you, I won't go so much to say this, that if you even think you've done something good, you messed it up by thinking it. Get it right. Every one of you agree with me on that. If we even think, you know, you ladies fix meals and stuff. You don't feel like you have to do it if you have company or something. You want people to come and eat at your table because you love them, and you want to fix for people because you love them. And that's the way it is in this business of worshiping Christ. This business of knowing Christ and having fellowship with Christ, it's born out of a heart of love. And God gives us love. He puts this love for Christ in our hearts. And I tell you, let me tell you something. Deliverance from the law in Christ is necessary for our justification. But it's also necessary for our sanctification. Justification and sanctification go together. Wherever you find one, you find the other. You can't be justified and not be sanctified. Can't do it. Who got so upset the other day talking about progressive sanctification? They talk about, you know, getting better. How in the world that we've been believers for a long, long, long time. Are you better now than you was when you first started? You know, our sanctification and our justification go exactly hand in hand. If you're justified, then you're sanctified. If you're sanctified, you're justified. They go together. Don't never separate them. And I'll tell you something, beloved. You know, the law in a man in his natural state can't be justified by the law in their natural state. And they can't be sanctified by the law in their unregenerated state. But people want to do that. The law can't make an evil man good, and it cannot make a saved man holy. You know, look over in Galatians 3. I want you to look at this. If I didn't know so many people that was dealing with these things under the law, look what he says here. Oh, foolish Galatians. That's what they wanted to do. They wanted to go back under the law. Remember in Acts 15 when they said, except you be circumcised and keep the law of Moses, you can't be saved? No, Paul said, no, we ain't gonna put up with that. Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you, preaching the gospel to them. This only would I learn of you. I want you to tell me this. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law? Did the Holy Spirit come to you by the works of the law? Or did He come to you by the hearing of faith? What you heard. Hearing. Is that how the gospel come to you? Is that how the regeneration come to you? Is that how salvation come to you? And look what he goes on to say. Are you so foolish? You started out in the Spirit. You begun in the Spirit. The Holy Ghost done something for you. Now you're going to try to turn around and be made perfect by your flesh? Oh, my. And then look what he said back over here in Romans 5. I mean, 7, excuse me. Romans 7. I'm going to wind this thing up here in a minute. I love talking about these things. I really, really do. You know, I've talked to so many people, even out the gym and around here and different places, and people make some of the awfulest mistakes. And that's, it's this one fella, a couple of fellas where I work out at, they talked to me a little bit and brought up things and stuff that I wouldn't agree with. And now all they do is say, "Hey, Pastor, hey, Pastor." They don't want to stop and talk anymore. My neighbor, oh my, when I told him that, no, Armenians are not saved. Pentecostals are not saved. It'd be impossible for a man to be saved and not be joined to Christ. The only difference between them, to him, and us was they didn't know they're saved eternally. If you don't know anything about Christ and you think you got to work to get what you want from Christ, then you don't know Christ. And now I ain't seen him or heard talk to him in over 2 months. I don't agree with him. I'm not going to agree with a man and just to get along with him. I'm just, by God's grace, I'm not. And I don't mean to be mean about it, but I don't want to face God for agreeing with a man with something that I know is a lie. But look what he goes on to say here now in verse 5. Talking about when we were back under the law, when we were in the flesh, in this old fallen flesh, this old human nature, the motions of sins, what's the motions of sins? The passions of sins, the lusts of sins, all the sin that aggravates us, which were by the law, what did they do? They worked in your members. And what did they do? They brought forth fruit to death. The law, all it done was stirred us up to be mean. You get around a bunch of Pharisees and they're mean. Look how mean they are to Christ. You get around religious people and they're mean. They're mean. And I tell you what, when all the law did just irritate us. Irritate us. Oh, we were filled with displeasure toward the law and the lawgiver. But now in verse 6, and we're done. But now we are delivered from what? The law. Saved from the law. Delivered from the law. That being dead wherein we were held. When you're delivered from it, you're no longer dead to it. You're dead to the law now. Wherein we were held. And listen to this. That we should serve in newness of spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. Oh, the law is terminated. And it has nothing for us. That our relationship is terminated with the law through our Lord Jesus Christ. We've died to what once restrained us and held us captive. We serve our Lord Jesus Christ. And we obey our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have to go to rules and regulations to tell us how to live. Don't have to go to law. But oh no, we got a new life. We have a new life. Ain't that what he called about newness of life? Newness of love? Oh, that's what he's talking about here. Not in the newness of spirit. Our spirit's new. Our hearts are new. Our lives are new. When a man's under the law, the forced obedience of a man under the law is the obedience of a slave. But the obedience of a man set free and adopted is the obedience of a son. And the obedience of a wife is an obedience of love. And that's what it is. The love of Christ constrains us. Constrains us. There's a little bulletin. I don't know if it's in this week's bulletin or next week's. But Bruce Crabtree was getting out of the pulpit and the fellow asked him. He said, do you believe said, do you believe you're under the law? And he says, no, I don't believe we're under the law. And he said, well, how then do you live? He said, I live the same way Abraham did, by faith. By faith. I live the same way Isaac, by faith. We don't need, God save us from ever thinking we can earn anything by what we do. Christ earned everything for us. We're not under any bondage to anybody except Christ Himself. And that's a bondage of love. And oh, what a wonderful bondage it is to love Christ. What a sweet bondage it is. Our Father, thank you and blessed be your name for letting us look into your word tonight. Thank you for saving us, keeping us saved, preserving us. And Lord, thanks for bringing us out from under this awful bondage that we were under for so many years. Oh, when we were in religion, we were under bondage. And oh Lord, we were under legalism. But Lord, you saved us. You showed us that we're complete in Christ, that we're free in Christ, that we're justified in Christ, we're sanctified by Christ. Everything is perfect and complete in our Savior, and we're perfect and complete in Him. One of these days, O Lord, you'll present us faultless, unblameable, unreprovable in your sight. And right now, that's the way we stand. Unblameable, unreprovable, and faultless right now in your presence. God bless these dear saints as they go their way, meet the needs of their homes and their hearts, and help us all to live to your glory and to manifest love not only to you, but to one another. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. We'll sing a couple of verses of 205, and you'll be at liberty to go. 205. We'll stand on this, and then when we're done, you can go. 205. You know what that is, don't you? Just sing. Well, sing all of them. 205.
Free from the law, happy condition, Jesus has fled and there is remission. Cursed of knowing, bruised by the fall, grace hath redeemed.
Sunday, God willing. Oh, y'all, the ladies have lunch Friday.